Hello and welcome to Bird Fans Forever, episode 56. And my guest host today is Dick Lutke.
Hey, John. Thank you.
And then our special guest today is Steve Pasca. We had his wife on earlier, and she was supposed to be episode 56. And I got the numbers transverse, which nobody should be surprised at. I issue with that with me. So, yes. And then I want to make one caveat before we ask Steve the first question we always do. I was able to troll Facebook for a lot of photos. So any of your former athletes have photos out there, don't be surprised they don't show up in the podcast. So, Steve, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on.
Great to have you, Steve. Pasca's two shows in a row, and we had a great time with Julie, your wife. But let's talk about swimming. You were a great swimmer and a big time for a long time swimming and diving coach at Illinois State. But we're wondering, where did you come from and what brought you to Illinois State University?
All right. First of all, thanks for inviting me to your podcast. I've watched a number of them and very appreciative of the Redbird tradition and all the guests that you've had on. Where did Steve Pasca come from? Well, I have to start with my wonderful parents, Ed and Sally Pasca. God rest their souls. Unfortunately, the good Lord has taken them from us. But they created myself and my twin sister, Sue, who lives in Heartland, Wisconsin. We, born in 1961, grew up in the suburb of Chicago, Blue Island, Illinois. Graduate, 1979 graduate of Dwight D. Eisenhower High School in the south suburbs. And what brought me to Illinois State was, yeah, partially swimming, and I guess my ACT score was high enough to get in. But after I graduated from Dwight D. Eisenhower, guys, I took my swimming career to Triton Junior College in River Grove, Illinois. And I didn't start swimming until I was 15, so I was kind of a latecomer. But age group swimming really started taking off around the time that I was in high school. But anyway, I went to Triton 79 and had a very successful freshman season at Triton Junior College. Met a lot of guys on that team that year, and we are still close friends today. Four of us went to Illinois State the following year because, unfortunately, Triton Junior College dropped their men's team in March of 1980 following our junior college national appearance in Fort Pierce, Florida. And so my buddies and I we applied to Illinois State and we got in, and I enrolled at Illinois State. My first time stepping foot on this campus as a student was the fall or summer, August of 1980. And that's where my season and my swimming career really blossomed, because at that point in time, guys, did I believe I was going to be a swim coach at that time? I was a business management major. So we'll talk more about the story as we go on. But that's how I became an Illinois State Redbird.
But no swimming until you were 15 years old. I assume you were very active in other sports. What got you into the water? And what convinced you that you were about to become a quality swimmer?
Well, I thank my mom once again. She took my sister and I to the pool quite often, and I just had the natural knack. I wasn't afraid of jumping off the high dive at the age of 4 or 5, I believe it was, when my sister and I started doing that, and I just had the feel for the water. And grew up, yes, I did play one or two falls of football. Wasn't for me. And played baseball all the way up until 8th grade. And then as I went into high school, I shared this with all my Blue Island buddies that we're going up to Wisconsin here in about a week to play some golf and hang out at one of my buddies' cabins up in Minocqua.
All right, Steve. So you get from working in the real world. How do you move from working in the real world to becoming a graduate assistant and to become a head coach? Walk us through that process.
Well, as mentioned, the real world or working the business world with Walgreens wasn't for me. So I reached out to Kathy Wickstrand regarding volunteering to coach with her the women's team back in beginning of 84. And she accepted my request and invited me to come down. So I did and started grad school that year. It took 9 hours. And then the year of 84, 85, I completed all the graduate work in PE administration and was also Kathy's graduate assistant for that school year. And I was honored and, I guess, lucky enough to earn my master's degree in PE administration in May of 1985. And I believe it was May of 85, guys, that Kathy sat me down in her office and said, well, I have some good news and shocking news a little bit that I wasn't expecting this, that she said that I have just accepted the head women's coaching job at Purdue University in West Lafayette. And she highly recommends, so I obviously, she cried a little bit, and so did I, because of our friendship and so forth. And I, we talked a little bit. She goes, Steve, I want to let you know that I've already submitted a request to Dr. Linda Herman and believe you should apply for the head women's job here at Illinois State. And so, in which I did, we talked about that a great deal from the time that Kathy informed me that she got the job, and she gave me tons of pointers and so many talks on the phone, in person, and all that. And I went through the process with Dr. Herman. I believe there were two other candidates that she hired and, or excuse me, interviewed. And then I believe in some time in middle of June or so, she called me up and asked me if I wanted to be the next head women's swim coach at Illinois State, and I did not hesitate. I said yes. And so in August 1 of 1985 was the day I started my coaching career at Illinois State, and I believe it was part of being in the right place at the right time, and maybe the tremendous pride that I have, that I had at that point in time, of being a student athlete coach, and I coached some age group teams and also during that time. But I don't know how a 24-year-old gets the head coaching job at that point in time in my life, and I am so grateful for Kathy to highly recommend me, and Linda to have the insight and belief in me as a young coach to guide the Illinois State women swimmers and divers. I was on paper the diving coach, but I was never credited with coaching diving. But it was just in the title. So it was something that I am forever grateful for those two women that have been a part of my life to this day forward. I talked to Kathy Wickstrand, who lives now in La Mesa, California. I talked to her less than a month ago, and Linda and I see each other around town when she's not traveling the world and down in Arizona or up in Wisconsin. So it's something that I will be forever grateful for those two. And Linda Herman has played a key role in the life of the Pasca family and with recruiting Julie and myself, and just a wonderful and genuine human being.
So Steve, right, as a former athlete being recruited myself, it'd be interesting to hear recruiting from the coach's perspective, but also talk about your principles and how you built your foundation in which to sell a program and turn this, you know, Illinois State into a powerhouse.
All right. Well, that was first and foremost on my mind as I started my coaching career in 1985. Didn't do much recruiting in 85 because of I got hired in the summer. So I take pride of starting that 86-87 campaign. Or in 85, I started recruiting for the class of that came in 1986. And I can remember sitting in Dr. Herman's office and putting a plan together, and she guided me through some very informative think using her approach a little bit as well. We talked about that, is getting to know the students. And so basically what I ended up doing is mailing questionnaires to club teams across the Midwest, Bloomington Normal teams, all that, and received everything. This was all done by good old U.S. mail and reaching out, calling club coaches. You could find out their numbers, high school coaches, through the IHSA directory. And I just put my name out there and started really targeting so many coaches, where all the talent was. And there's talent all over the state of Illinois, but mostly north of Interstate 80. Not degrading anything south of central Illinois or southern Illinois. But that was my target line of recruiting, is just trying to get as many people interested in Illinois State. So more often I looked at what they wanted to major in from their questionnaires and the conversations that I had with them. That's how I put everything together. And the first class that I was able to bring in was one of the most special classes that I had. And in 1985, 86, that's the year Julie and I met. Back in the day, John, you might remember this, and Dick, back in the days doing some of your work with basketball, down that hallway in Horton Fieldhouse, I'm almost positive Coach Bob Donewald's office was the far left from the administrative offices on the far left. I was in the far right office with strength coach back then, Pat Gregory. We shared an office. The volleyball office was at the very beginning of that hallway, and Julie's office was to the left. So I knew of her because I watched her play volleyball during her end of her career at Illinois State, but she was the assistant that year. And so it took the whole year for us to, okay, let's, and I'm not sure, Dick might remember her, John, you might remember, Wendy Gates Troxell was the one who, Wendy, back then it was Wendy Gates, but Wendy kind of got us together and we went on a couple dates and that. So she played an integral part because we started our relationship at that point in time, and using her knowledge as a coach, player, and so forth, we discussed so many different strategies as we went on. And that one of that first class I was telling you about, back in the days when you got to sign your student athletes with a national letter of intents, you could do it in person, but it couldn't be until one given day in April. We didn't have the early signing period back then. And I remember Julie went with me one of my first trips out there, and we had the map planned out that I'd signed somebody in Hanover Park. We went signed two girls in Wisconsin, and we just wondered, we did that in person. And obviously you don't do that anymore. Now it's through electronic mail or the compliance office and so forth. But that was the approach that I tried to take back then. It was getting to know that I want to do everything for that student athlete and get to know her family. Because another thing that I take a lot of personal pride in is that I had to try to sell myself and the program. And the parents also had to say, yes, we trust in this young coach that our daughter is going to be able to attend Illinois State, let's say major in elementary education, and she's 100 and 200 butterfly that can really help the Redbird program. And I tried to build a program not on just quality swimmers, a few fast swimmers. I tried to obviously find the fastest kids I could, but also they had to be multi-event swimmers. And so I tried to recruit quality depth as much as possible, then hopefully get lucky with maybe a kid from out of state or international student throughout my career. But quality depth, I think, was my underlying factor of trying to put the most solid team together throughout my years. In the first 10 years or so, as I brought in numbers, our team, my first year, I only had 13, 14 swimmers on the team. And by the second or third year, there was times, John Dick, I had 24 to 30 swimmers on our roster. And we used that to our degree, to assist with our dual meets and our championships to have multi-event swimmers. And you also, unfortunately, you had to deal with illness, injury back in the day. So you had somebody maybe to pick up the slack if someone did get hurt and so forth. And a lot of my success in coaching, yes, I give it all to the student athletes. Yes, I design programs and so forth. And also I have to give credit to all my assistant swim coaches and the dive coaches that I had. But it's those first 10 years that I think I established my base of how I wanted to build teams each and every year and try to be 3 and 4 deep in all those events. And the first year of my coaching career, 85-86, I won my first Gateway Championship. We won the 86th Gateway Championship in good old Little Horton Pool against a team. Southern Illinois back then was ranked in the top 10 nationally at that point in time. But it was just something that, I don't know if it was lineup creativity, and I know their coach back in that day, they did not swim their best lineup and so forth, and that was their credit. Or that was their decision, and we put our girls in the water, and it was something that I'll cherish because I remember, and I know Dick knows this young lady. Patty Viverito was the commissioner for swimming back in the valley, back in the Gateway at that point in time, and that started the track of, because we started in the Gateway Conference and stayed in the Gateway until 1992, and within my first 7 years of being in. At Illinois State, we won 5 Gateway titles, and it was on the precedence of having the deepest swimming team, and we had quality divers as well. And that's how the recruiting philosophy continued throughout. And from 85 until 95, the Gateway, as I mentioned, folded in 1992. But we also swam other championship meets that were, the National Independent had a title for swimming and diving in the Midwest and even nationally, because there was teams from, I remember Virginia Tech coming to the Midwest swimming in that, and some other teams throughout the country, mostly East Coast teams. And also we had Midwest Independents for mostly Midwest teams. And we won 5 Midwest titles as well. And 3 national independent titles before 1996, when the Valley started swimming and diving. And so a lot of the success, yes, goes to the student athletes in that, but that's what I think started the precipice of the program that I continued from 96 until 2015, so another 19 years. Unfortunately, we didn't win that many titles. We won the first ever Missouri Valley title in 1996, and we did have 11 runner-up finishes in the Valley during my tenure at Illinois State from 96 until 2014, 2015, my last season. And it was based on the philosophy of family, and that's one thing I tried to treat my staff and the student athletes that I was able to coach as an extended family, and knowing that I cared immensely for them as people before swimmers. And that's how it began. And I believe from the words of Kathy and Linda, that's something I remember them, or remember them telling me to always communicate with your student athletes as much as possible. And I tried to do that maybe too often, but I believe it worked for the most part.
Awesome. Can you, I was looking at the things, right? You just talked about the National Independent Championship and the Midwest Independent. Explain that versus conference, right? Because you were in the Gateway, you're in the Valley, and then you're talking these independents. Is this like Notre Dame? I mean, help me understand this.
Very good question. What it was that it was another championship meet that college coaches and programs could participate in if they so well choose to do that. And because sometimes the conference meets were held in December or the first week in February, and then the Midwest title meet, or Midwest independent meet, or the national independent meet, they were hosted at the last week in February. So you had the opportunity to train more, rest more for those meets, because it was just based, you had to swim your conference meet when your conferences wanted that meet to be held. And so Dr. Herman was my sport administrator until she moved up in the ranks there. And then Leanna Border was my administrator for a number of years as well. And Cindy Harris finished my tenure there. But back into the independent meets, they allowed me to compete with those. So we extended our season a little bit more. And that provided so many fond memories for me, because a lot of our, back in the days, a lot of our school records were set at those meets at the end of February, when you had more time to rest from the long duration of a swimming season. Hopefully that makes sense to the people out there. I think the swimmers may understand that more, but maybe not the general public.
Yeah, I was just looking through your credentials, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, that is interesting. All right, next one, I got a question for you. So as former athlete, we knew of records, and we kind of knew when somebody was getting close. Now, it didn't change our play. We didn't try to figure out how to help that person get more, right? It just was going to happen or wasn't going to happen. Did you ever notice on the board that you were getting close to having your former students have all the records up there, right? I mean, did somebody walk up to you one day and say, hey, guess what? You got all the records. I mean,
Yeah, at one point in time, as the years went on, by the first 5 to 10 years, because as mentioned before, that was the foundation, but a lot of the school records were set during that 85 to 96 era. And there's still one record by a swimmer that I recruited from 1986 to 1990. You might know the last name. Dick's probably heard Katie Novotny, Bloomington Normal, went to BHS. And Katie was one of the fastest distance swimmers in the history of Illinois State Swimming. She still holds the school 1,000-yard freestyle record. And she set that record in Brown Deer, Wisconsin, back in 1990, in a meet that was fouled. It fouled the Gateway meet, the Midwest Independent meet. We went up to another meet in Wisconsin, and she went that time. I can remember, it's 10-10-21. I'll remember that until the good Lord takes me away. It was one of the most prolific, efficient races I've ever seen a distance swimmer in my time as coach swim. And then, yeah, there's a little bit of pride of seeing all the records. When I left in 2015, that they were done throughout that period of time. And then after I left, and the coaches that have been at the helm of Redbird Swimming and Diving, I'm almost positive, with the exception of a couple, all of the records that the swimmers that competed under me have been broken. And that's the sport of swimming. The records are made to be broken, and you want kids to be able to swim that fast. And now with the new coach the Redbirds just hired, Riley Hillbrandt, the future is bright for Illinois State Swimming under her, and I believe more records will be falling in the future.
Yeah. Records are made to be broken. That's so, right. Yep.
Welcome back to Bird Fans Forever. Dick Ludke with John Pemberton and our guest, Steve Pasca, the former swimmer and women's swimming and diving coach at Illinois State. Steve, you mentioned it. You mentioned that you won some conference championships. You were an extremely successful coach over a long, long period of time. So I'm wondering if part of the reason for that is because of what you said earlier. You, as a swimmer yourself, made dramatic improvement as a high schooler. You knew what it took to do that. Did that, would you say, help you teach others how to do the same sort of thing?
Very good question, Dick. I definitely believe in self-belief. You have to motivate yourself to try to find different areas to improve in, because in the sport of swimming, it's hard to be perfect. And it is essential to be able to learn how to improve yourself when you fail. Because swimming, a lot of times, yes, you're racing the person next to you or five people in your heat or whatever it might be, but you're also racing against time. And some people always just put it out, I want to beat the person next to me. Some people were swimming, I want to get personal best times as much as possible. But in the sport of swimming, very rarely you get personal best times every race you swim in, every meet you go to. That's why swimmers train for prolonged periods of time, where you might train for 32 weeks continuous, see how fast you swim, and then rest for 2 weeks or 3 weeks to be as fast as you can be. And that's what a lot of the people during the Olympic Games that are going on right now, they have 2, 3, 4 year training programs to try to get themselves to be the fastest they can be at a specific point in time. And as we went through each and every season for the swimmers, as they set goal times, improvement was always on the front burner. Is how can somebody that might be a 57 butterflyer, how can they go 55 flat or any other time you want to improve on? And it's done through mental training, physical training, as well as believing in yourself that you have to do this on a daily basis at practice, in the weight room, and most importantly in swimming as well as in diving. But since we're on swimming here, if you can stay healthy and injury-free, illness-free, moreover than not, if you are giving 100% in practice on a daily basis, you're going to see the hard work that your coaching staff in all facets of the sport are doing with you on a daily basis. And that's something that I try to emphasize throughout my season, or the season for the swimmers here at Illinois State. We basically broke it up into two segments. We had usually a mid-season taper meet and then a February taper meet. And so we tried to do that differently. And some kids coped with that, and some kids swam faster in December than they did in February. But that I could talk for hours for that, and we don't have time for that. But it's understanding that you come to practice on a daily basis and try to get something accomplished. What can I improve on this day of practice? And that's one thing we tried to talk about in every pre-practice meeting that we had over in Horton Pool.
Awesome. All right. So my question is, I was kind of trolling some of your former swimmers, so I made sure I have pictures in media, because it's not always easy to get that out of Illinois State. We are not a Illinois State sponsored, we're just Illinois State people doing this. A couple of them commented on the really nice Redbird Arena workout facility, right? And so I trained in Horton, and you and I off air were talking about the free ray room, the Nautilus room, guys going in there. So talk about Redbird and that training facility now, because it didn't just benefit men's basketball, women's basketball, and volleyball. It benefited everybody.
You're exactly right, John. The transition from our glory days back when we were student athletes at Illinois State, working out in the Nautilus room, the free weight room. Every student athlete at Illinois State in those years that I was there training, 80 to 82 and year, a couple years after me, and for 4 years after that, or five, you spent as much time in the shared scheduling that Pat Gregory and other strength coaches had to assign all the groups. Wow. And for the success that our student athletes and the teams had back then with that facility, kudos to the student athlete and the coaches, because we had some fabulous teams back in that era of Redbird Athletics. But when Redbird Arena opened up 89, 90, I don't know the exact date, to have that enhanced workout or strength and conditioning program room, and the cycles and the body air, the body max machines and all these other things that they have now. I'm not that caught up because of my retirement 9 years ago, but it was an incredible blessing to have my student athletes, the young ladies, walk into that strength room wanting to get stronger and lifting the weights. And I give a lot of credit to the strength coaches back in the day. Rourke Kutchlow was a fabulous leader back in the days of Redbird Arena, and all of his assistant strength coaches that we had. And the designing of the strength workouts for swimmers and divers, totally different than basketball player, football player, et cetera, because different muscle groups are used, et cetera. So, wow, it's amazing. I can shut my eyes and remember the days I'm plugging away on those Nautilus machines or that free weight room, and then walking into Redbird Arena with everything there and the free weights everywhere, the dumbbells. Wow. And I think that definitely helped our program, especially the early on from 90 to 99, and that age, just to have that benefit. I think it definitely helped the Redbird swimmers and divers excel.
And I can answer you, the Redbird opened against Chicago State for men's basketball. I think we were the first ones in there. I was on that team. But like you were talking about the schedule, man, I remember in late April, early May, the schedule kind of went out the window, and you'd be in there working with all kinds of different student athletes at the same time. And so there's times your swimmers would be in spotting me, and I'd be spotting them on bench or whatever needed. So, yeah, Coach Gregory ran that. I love Coach Gregory. Yeah, so awesome. Awesome. All right. So talk about the changes done to Horton, the pool, right? Because from what I remember, I broke my foot in 89, the season. And so during season, I was in a boot and I was able to swim in the pool outside whenever you weren't practicing. Man, it looks like a whole lot nicer now. They did a nice job remodeling that. When did that happen? And kind of walk us through that.
Okay, wow. You're making me put my archive hat on here now. Let's just start with the aesthetics around. They put a lot of signage, a lot of the different Redbird logos, and they have the words to the Redbird fight song formatted on the windows of the garage doors that were built. Because back when you were in the pool, we had those huge, and I'm going to say it, ugly, long garage that you had to basically lift them up, and you could use them as a dumbbell trying to get those things up. But, and that was just the look. But I believe in the early 90s, I remember swimmers that, because they, 1 year, they basically gutted the pool and they took out the drop ceiling that was there, and then they took out the walls and inserted the new sliding open, I guess you can say, horizontal doors instead of the vertical door. There, and that's when the aesthetic change started and the signage and so forth. But in terms of the facility, I believe just talking to the strength coaches and the athletic training staff back in your days when you were injured, we just worked out a time where if the swimmers were, because we have a T-shaped pool at Horton Pool, and it's still T-shaped, five lanes at the top of the T, six lanes this way. And if we were using the six lanes, our competitive course, a number of workouts that we had John Pemberton in the shallow end working out or doing his rehab for his injured ankle, or we have football players in there and so forth. So it was one of those community efforts that, as long as you communicate, I think communication's been a key in my address here with staff, student athletes, mentors, administration, you can get a lot of things done for everybody. And that's where I believe that I tried to be always a team player and allow people to do this so they know the times where, hey, this is when you can use the pool at this point. And then we also shared it with University High School uses it. Club teams used to use it back in the evening. So once again, we tried to work everything out. But then is what they did, and I believe maybe it was the summer after I retired in 15, they put a liner, a white silicone liner, all through to cover up the grout work and all that. And so that's why it looks like it's a beautiful liner. And now I know.
Beautiful.
And now that's something that they've done that. And so that's why it looks like a little bit of a new pool, and that they've made some major enhancements to it. And it's still, in my opinion, and maybe I form a little bit bias here, that in the state of Illinois, for a 6-lane pool, it's one of the fastest ones out there. And take pride in that, because we spent a lot of time in that pool during my 30 years of coaching and 2 years as a swimmer. And very, very special memories of the good old Hort pool and the pool deck in my time.
All right, Steve. We always tease my oldest daughter. Closing arguments. Here you go.
Well, as mentioned early, I've mentioned family quite a bit, and I started out with honoring my parents, Ed and Sally, and my twin sister, Sue. After that, it's my family that, during the 30 years that I was at Illinois State, the one unfortunate thing about that was I didn't get to see them, and I should say Matt Pasca, 2012 graduate of Illinois State, Dusty Pasca, 2013 graduate of University of Illinois, Jill Pasca, 2019 graduate of University of Missouri. They grew up went more to the team sports, basketball, baseball, football, volleyball for Jill. And I missed a lot of their games because of my job. So I got a free group here, but I'm pretty emotional, and a lot of my swimmers have seen me choke up about that. So that's one thing that I wish I could have back, but I believe they understood that point of it. And then having the rock that I have as a wife, that allowed me to be gone 12, 14 hours a day to coach. And then so many times I have to come home, and before computers and internet, I would spread out manila file folders, 20, 30 of high school recruits on my bed, and have to use our home rotary phone or dial phone or 1-800-CALL-AT&T to call student athletes. And I had my Monday night calls, Tuesday night calls, and I didn't spend a lot of quality time during certain parts of the season with them. And but it was something I'll cherish, but I also was unfortunate not to be able to see all of my kids play for the Normal West Wildcats or the Parkside Pythons during their time. But the relationship that we have, and I think they knew how important family was to me, and I tried to extend that to the swimmers and divers. And I'll take it to the next point. Then I have to thank the numerous assistant swim coaches and diving coaches that agreed to be my assistants And so hopefully I did not try to treat them as that word, assistant. We tried to do everything collectively, make decisions to for the betterment of the program. But so many of them I still have close friendships with. Today, and I have to mention one named Dick Hawes. He's a year older than me, graduated from ISU, and now he's the head coach, or he's been the head coach at Ohio Wesleyan in Delaware, Ohio, for 30-plus years. He retired as a professor there, but he's still coaching, and his daughter, Emma, just got married this week in London, England. And just beautiful pictures. And so just to be able to share that experience with him and being able to watch Emma grow up, and now she's one of the best, she's nationally known as a ballet dancer out in internationally. So that story, and I have tons of those, but the coaches that worked with me throughout my tenure, the 30-plus years, I probably didn't thank them enough, but if any of them are going to watch this, I hope they really understand how thankful I am for them to be Redbird coaches with me. And then I mentioned this earlier in the recruiting aspect of it, was the fact that thanking the parents who trusted in me from the first year I recruited till the last year I recruited, that they allowed me to recruit their daughters and have them come to Illinois State to be representative of our program of being Redbird student athletes. That's key to me, that they trusted in myself and my staff and the administration at Illinois State for that. And then I tried to do the tally, not exactly, but I believe during my 30-plus years, I coached well over 350 student athletes in my time. And I think you said you've been trolling me and my Facebook and so forth, and a number of us keep in touch through Facebook, Instagram, that part of it. And I've been blessed to be able to go to tons of weddings and seeing them now start families and being very successful out there in the real world. It just makes me happy that I believe I did some way, shape, or form positively impact their lives a little bit. And I know we're talking about reunions, reunion coming up here with the new coach. I'm not sure when it's going to take place and such, but it's been a heck of a ride for, like I said, for the 30-plus years. And it's somewhat ironic we're doing this podcast on August 1st, which is what, a couple days away. That will be the ninth.
Yep.
It'll be 9 years since I retired from Illinois State. So that the thank yous are endless. I know I mentioned Dr. Linda Herman early, Kathy Wickstrand, because without them, I'm not sure if we'd be talking right now together. So I believe they know how important and the love I have for them is there. And then bottom line, it's Julie living with me for, we just shared our 36th wedding anniversary in June, and we're hoping for so many more, and now we get to spend more time together, and we'll see where the road takes us. And our next big family adventure is in November. Our son Dusty is getting married in Scottsdale to Emily Kissel, a girl from Bloomington. So we're looking very forward to that date in November, as I can't believe August 2024 is just right around the corner. And so I believe that is all the thank yous that I have, and I probably forgot some of it, but if not, there's so many people that I've been blessed with. And as I mentioned, and I have to mention a couple other people, and I know you'll track this down, but as I mentioned, the sport administrators that I work with, Linda Herman and Leanna Bordner, and the last 2 years of my career was Cindy Harris, and I really appreciated, and I still do, all the work she has done for me, and she continues to do for Redbird Swimming and Diving, and also the number of athletic directors that I've been lucky to work under. And I could probably, if I wanted to, name them all, but I will not. But the one who stands out for me and who's been there for in thick and thin for me for the last number of years has been Larry Lyons. Good friend of mine. And he was always there to listen and help give a helping hand to me during my time as a coach. And then as I was going into the talk of retirement, I really reached out to him a number of times for advice, and just a professional, caring young man who still to this day loves Illinois State athletics and Illinois State University. So as we move forward, I look forward to seeing more of these podcasts and getting ready to embark on the 24-25 season for Redbird Athletics as we get volleyball and football and cross country and ready to go here in a few weeks.
Steve, thank you so much for
really inspiring to hear what you just said, Steve. Talking about your kids, and you know, we all have impact on our kids, and that's a big part of our life. But those of you who are coaches and or teachers, including your wife, Julie, who was an academic advisor, the impact that you had on the more than 300 swimmers and divers that you talked about, that has to make you feel wonderful about who you are and what you've done in your time here on this planet.
Thank you for the kind words, Dick. Yes, it does. It makes all those hours on the pool deck, on the buses, going back and forth, and even to this day of being able to I just remember another fact of 21-22, my wife and I attended 10 weddings, and only one of them was family. The other nine were swimmers or divers. And that was a special summer, and there's still probably some more to come, but the number is dwindling since most of the girls that I have recruited and coached are, there's still a few out there, but we'll have to wait and see what the future holds with their partnerships down the road. But it's something blessed, and it's the time that you spend outside of the pool in regards to off-season conditioning and doing other events with the student athletes and their parents, just getting to know their parents. And yes, you don't want mom and dad coaching them from the pool deck or anything like that, or the stands, but just getting to know them throughout. And like I said, I was blessed that a bunch of parents trusted in me to guide their daughters through the 4 years or 3 years or 5 years, whatever it was, at Illinois State. And those times at conference meets, talking to them in the hotel lobbies and so forth, wow, it's brings back some very special memories that sometimes I wish I could relive again, but I'm glad I hung up the goggles and the stopwatch, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Steve, thank you so much for being on. Dick, thank you for co-hosting with me again. I appreciate it. So this is Bird Fans Forever, episode 56. And trying to get the clapping to go. Did I do it?